Hi, it's good to have your company. My name is Simon Smart, and you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Well, on any given Sunday, we're told that around 90% of us are not in church. So what is the church anyway? Is it just an archaic institution that's past its used by date? Is it going to survive into the future? Does it have something to contribute to society still? Well, Mike Frost is an author and evangelist. He's the vice principal of Morling College in Sydney and the founder of Small Boat Big Sea, a missional Christian community based in Manly on Sydney's northern beaches. That's my part of the world, Mike. God's country, the people there call it, don't they? And he's done a lot of thinking and writing about what it means to be the church in a postmodern era. And Mick Martin is a regular guest on Life and Faith, and he's the senior pastor at the Upper Room, a church community in North Sydney. It's good to have you both in.
Good to be here.
Thanks, Simon.
So what do you reckon when you hear about the word church, what comes to your mind?
Indoctrination, more than anything. It's not for me at all. It's something that I feel pretty strongly about. I think it's doing more harm than good in society today.
What has the church done wrong to fail to connect with so many people? But equally, we might ask, what is it about our culture that no longer sees the need to attend religious ceremonies or be part of a religious community? Mick, do you have a thought on that?
The short answer is that a lot of certainly what's perceived as church just doesn't strike a chord with our culture, with people in our society today. It seems to be anachronistic. It seems to be irrelevant. I think a lot of that is based on stereotypes and preconceptions, some of which are not completely accurate. But at the same time, I also think the church has maybe dropped the ball a little bit in terms of not just keeping up in terms of being relevant, but actually making a compelling case for, you know, why we're here and what we're about. So.
Let's wind back a bit. What is the church? What would we understand to be the church, Mike?
Well, what is the church? It's a collective or a community of people who have acknowledged and put their life under the reign of God through Jesus. So I think probably it's worthwhile raising even definitions there. I guess when most people hear you talking about the church, I guess they're thinking of the institution, the organization of church. And I'm a bit of a nonconformist and from the kind of dissenting tradition, so I've never been particularly oriented toward kind of, you know, the church as the sort of the organ or agent of Christendom in the West. I'm much more a committed to a more organic, local expression, a community of people gathered around the Lordship or the recognition of Jesus as Lord and desiring to live out his teaching and life in this world. And that takes many different shapes and sizes. So I guess when you say the church, you've got everything from the Anglican Church and Catholic Church or denominational organizational churches right through to a whole range of organic churches. I mean, I think a lot of people might be surprised to discover how many small house-based churches there are happening across, say, a city like Sydney, that may never even come up on statistics or anything like that. They're not filling in forms to say that they're there. They're just spontaneously connecting.
I suppose you associate it with the buildings and people attending church for services and things. I suppose that's the central focus for a lot of people's beliefs.
Church is diminishing in Australia, as far as I'm concerned.
They're unnecessary for me because my wife and I, we get a lot of pleasure and a lot of spiritual succor from walking in the bush. What do you think, honey?
Playing with my grandchildren. I don't need a priest to tell me what to do. I know what to do. I know what's right and wrong.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
You mentioned your way of understanding the church. Do you think the average Australian connects with that type of idea?
I reckon the average Australian, insofar as I'm connected with what the average Australian thinks, wouldn't mind the idea of a group of people who have wanted to orient their lives around Jesus' teaching about a love and grace and mercy and justice, around the values that that he represented and as well as spoke about. And a meeting together in order to feel strengthened and encouraged to serve their neighbourhood and to contribute to the lives of others. Whether they would want to join that or be part of that is a different question. But if people thought, oh, that's what church is like, okay, I don't object to people doing that. I'm open to that possibility. I guess to take up on Mick's point, you know, the stereotype about, you know, the cathedral and people sitting in rows and disconnected from the clergy and that's an entirely different kind of thing, and certainly does exist in this country. And there's no question people would have great concerns about engagement with that form of Christianity.
Yeah, there's a PR problem, isn't there? The church, in some ways, is on the nose in that sense. People often speak about some of the more regrettable aspects of church that are in the public space. There's a lot more going on than those things, Mick, isn't there?
There's a lot more going on, Simon. Yeah, unfortunately, the stuff that gets the headlines is all usually the negative stuff, you know, and it's the institutional stuff, and people then sort of lump all of that together and say, well, that's what the church is all about.
Christians are like.
That's what Christianity is all about, what Christians are like. Yeah, and usually it's to do with hypocrisy and self-righteousness and being judgmental and acting as the moral police for society and so on.
And sometimes the church is that or has been that.
Well, certainly segments of the church take on that kind of role. And, we don't even have to go into examples. We all know them. But there's a lot more going on. And as Mike said, you know, the grassroots church is thriving in a lot of places and doing some incredibly good stuff in communities. I can think of a few examples here, guys like John Owen out at Bidwell and, you know, living in community with people who have all sorts of need and just being there to love them and meet the need as best they can and to be salt and light, as we, you know, like to use those biblical metaphors of being salt of the earth and the light of the world.
I think church has always been relevant. I mean, it does a lot of good in the community. And it doesn't matter where you go in the world, whether you're deeply religious or not, if ever you're down and you really need help, the church will always help you.
So if the church was to maybe become a little bit more focused around even organising events and community, maybe like festivals and things like that, just to bring people together.
I've got to say that my three children have greatly benefited from going to that church. My elder daughter in particular, I believe she was actually saved, her life was saved by going there.
For more Christian perspective on contemporary life, publicchristianity.org.
Part of it goes to the church's stance or attitude to the culture around it. And I think that the more institutional or Christendom style approach to church perceives itself to be a major player at the table, that it ought to have a say and make a contribution and contribute to the way in which Australian culture or society operates. Adopting that posture that has, I think, caused a great deal of the difficulty, because it's at that point that I think archbishops and bishops and church leaders and the like want to be able to tell culture, well, you can't do this or you mustn't do that or you must stop this or the other thing. And I think that has led to a lot of the resentment and anxiety that people have about institutional Christianity.
That said, though, you would agree that Christian people, and some of them are represented by the church or the institutional church, or to have a voice in the public space, would you not?
The point I'm making is the way in which that voice is expressed.
What are they saying?
If it's like shouldering in at the table and step aside, you know, I think, you know, the education system and politics and business, I ought to be able to tell you the way we operate, as distinct from, I guess, what is a much more kind of bottom-up or grassroots approach to actually contributing into society by unleashing hundreds of thousands of committed Christian people to serve and love and give and contribute. I think that actually has a far more impactful outcome.
When I think of the church, I guess I think about the people that make up the church, less about the building. But I think the buildings and how they are, I think that's it does add that comfort and that traditionalism and that homey feeling, because it is that sort of old, we've been around for a long time, we're bricks and mortar, we're stable, so it brings that element.
The building, how important is that? Mickey, you meet in a theatre. Mike, you're in an old church, although it doesn't look much like a church from the inside.
We try very hard to avoid the language of the building being the church, you know, and it's not just being pedantic. It's, I think, when church becomes all about its building, that can lead to all sorts of difficulties. you know, not the least of which you have a whole financial commitment to a building that you've got to sustain, and where's the money come from for that? It comes from the people who turn up on Sundays, and so you've got to keep them happy. So
you've got to have a building, though. You've got to have keep the rain off.
But you can meet anywhere. You know, I mean, we meet in a theatre, but we sometimes also use the local community centre. We meet in homes. Church can happen wherever people come together under the lordship of Christ and with the view to pursuing his purposes in the world. So church can happen anywhere, anytime. And you know, if a building is a useful thing for pursuing that purpose, then that's fine. I don't have an issue with churches having buildings, but when a building becomes the defining thing and the whole focus and all the resource and energy gets channeled into that,
it can lose the sense of what it ought to be.
And the financial thing, I think, is an issue. You know, when churches decide to put up, you know, great structures that cost millions of dollars, what else could we do with that money? And do we really need to have this thing sitting here 5 or 6 days a week? Because that's the other thing, of course. When you've got a building, you have to justify it. So you create a whole lot of activity in and around the building, which is, you know, just churchy activity, and a whole lot of people get really busy around that. And you're taking them out of the flow of everyday life and out of the communities that they're living in. And you know, I just think there's something a bit dysfunctional about that.
The building's a tool, isn't it? I mean, it's useful, as you say, and it ought to be considered that way. I think it's when churches invest some kind of sacral investment into these tools. I'd say the sermon is one of those things. It's kind of like, I think a community of believers in Jesus ought to be learning the Bible together. They ought to be learning what Jesus taught about and learning why he said the things that he said and who he was and what he did. But it's almost as though that's become secondary in some churches. The sermon, which was a tool for doing that, is non-negotiable. You've got to have one. So you've got to have a pulpit. So you've got to have a clergyman. Mm. So the tool of Bible teaching has actually become the thing that has become non-negotiable. And I'd say the same thing with a building. Of course, as Simon says, you need a building. You need somewhere to meet and you need to keep the rain off and all that sort of thing. But in the end, you can't imagine church without this particular sacred building. And I don't know that they're very helpful. But the concern I have is, you don't hear too many churches or Christians ever even renegotiating that.
No, it's a given.
It's got to have a clergyman, got to have a building, got to have a sermon, and that's a church.
Yeah.
The Centre for Public Christianity, Beyond Religion.
Let's pick up on that, because if people were to come to one of your gatherings, in what ways would it resemble a sort of traditional church, if you like? In what ways would it be different?
Ours would be traditional in the sense that, as you mentioned before, we meet in an old Baptist church and was kind of decommissioned, and we went in and took it over and turned it into a kind of performance space, art gallery kind of space. So the outside, you'd walk in, it would look like this is a church building. But we meet, you know, sitting around lounges and long kind of feasting tables. We have a meal as kind of the centre of our gathering together. But there is teaching from the Bible, there's prayer, there's worship. Our kids go off and have a kids program during the more kind of intensive times, like the teaching sort of time for us. So, I mean, we've had people who are not familiar with church come along to our meeting and say, this is not what I thought church would be like. But if you break down all the pieces, I mean, they're all the pieces that any church would do.
The elements are there. Yeah. They're just being reconstituted or positioned differently for presumably you think it's a little bit more attractive to people to come in that setting.
We did it because we felt that it was the most kind of meaningful and helpful way for us to learn and to worship and to meet together and connect with each other and with God. Some people might not like it. You might find some people say, look, I'd rather pews and hymns and an old-fashioned sermon.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a sucker for the old hymns, I must admit. But sometimes some of the vocal critics of Christianity suggest that it's a force for harm in our society. And if people come along to your community, Mick, you know, they'll be expected to give up time, presumably give up money, volunteer for things, be put to work. But what are they gaining in coming?
I'd like to think that they gain a sense of connectedness to the purpose of God in the world, and a sense of connectedness to other people that are walking that path. You know, like Tom Wright has a definition of church, which as the company of those who believe in the God they see in Jesus Christ and are struggling to follow him. So I kind of like to think of it as a bunch of people struggling together to figure out what it means to follow Jesus in our day and age. And if they don't gain any more than that, I think that's enough.
Well, there's plenty more to say about the church, past, present and future, so we'll continue that conversation in a few weeks' time. Next week, my guest will be Priya Viswalingam, the writer, director and presenter of the feature documentary Decadence, The Decline of the Western World. Hope you can join me then.
For more Christian perspective on contemporary life, publicchristianity.org.